I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 23, and we're going to go back to 1970, to Porsche's first triumph at the legendary 24-hour of Le Mans race, in the classic Salzburg livery, 1970 Porsche 917 of Richard Attwood and Hans Hermann.
Very nice.
I know. Nate's upset. We didn't go 23X.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was going to say that so. Stacker 2 Kenny Wallace car from 2003. That's a classic.
Yeah, that's classic. Stacker. Good stuff. That stuff will kill you. It's like Ephedrine. Anyways, on tonight's episode. Know. Yeah, there we go. On tonight's episode, we'll discuss NASCAR in Chi-Town. IndyCars at Mid-Ohio, and F1, the Qatar Airways Silverstone Grand Prix of Great Britain. And we'll do, we'll do some news and notes. Let's flip things around tonight, gentlemen. And there's not a whole lot of news and notes out there. IndyCar is on a, they're on a hiatus, right?
No.
Right.
What do you mean hiatus?
No. Oh, no, they had the 4 weeks in, or five races in a row.
Yeah.
Do they have a race this week? They have a race this weekend?
Yeah, it's a doubleheader at Iowa.
Oh, all right.
Oh, sorry.
Sean. All right. Well, we'll get to our picks. Well, F1's on a hiatus for 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we can. That one is. Yeah.
WEC picks up this weekend in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And IMSA is on a limited schedule at Mosport, Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, with LMP2, GTD, GTD Pro, and then some support series. And then NASCAR is where Nate.
That's a good question. I think they're going.
Sonoma.
Another road course, Sean. How about that?
Another road course. All right. We know who's going to win that. So,
are we sure that this is NASCAR?
Are we
with the schedule?
Yep.
Yeah, NASCAR's going to Sonoma with the Xfinity Series.
Yep. And then we got, you know, we still have another legit road course coming up in a couple of weeks' time too. To go bowling at the Glen. Which is a good name because that race is such a crash fest. It is like going bowling.
Not compared to the Roval,
which comes up in the chase, which makes no sense.
The show, you know.
Yeah. All right. So let's just from a news perspective. I mean, first off, in sports cars, big news. Giovinazzi has signed a multi-year contract with Ferrari. That's exciting. I like that.
It's good.
It is. It's very good. Other than that, that's it.
For news and notes.
News and notes. There's nothing else.
I got a couple other
things. Oh, Christian's got some. Oh, okay. Good. If it has to do with BOP, I'm out.
No.
On Ferrari?
This is just like a couple. It's more of just a rumor about WC and Silverstone getting that back on the calendar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Year. So that'd be nice. So that's being looked at.
I would like that.
Mm-hmm. And then the only other piece of news that really came through that I saw was that Nate, you sent it to us that Suarez is out at Track Hills.
Yes. We really know who's going to fill that spot. And I mean, right away, it's kind of Zilich.
I thought it was Franz Hermann.
No, Sean. Well,
no?
I would guess. I mean, A for effort.
Wait, so, you know, just something not for nothing. Since Trackhouse has a relationship with Red Bull, is it conceivable that somebody on a free weekend when there's a NASCAR race on a road course who runs for a Red Bull team, possibly, maybe still next year, could come and run?
Possibly. I mean, a one-time thing. But look what happened this past weekend with Corey Heim. He missed the field.
Corey Heim?
Yeah. He was the fourth entry for 2311.
Yeah, well,
67 Robin Hood Toyota.
Yeah, well, I'm talking somebody on a road course that couldn't win. So I was talking Mr. Verstappen, possibly.
Oh, right. Hey, listen, I'm all for it. One of the best performances I've seen is Matthias Ekstrom.
I'm not really interested in Corey Heim.
No, I'm just the overall Sean. Come on. Oh my God.
Speaking of Franz Hermann, there's a rumor that he's that Mercedes is is trying to pull him.
Is that right in there with the rumor that he might stay with Red Bull or he might go to Aston Martin as well?
Right. I won't get further into this. I just find the situation
funny.
Funny. Because
yeah.
Between the two drivers that have probably the most publicly.
Oh my God, these people. Sorry. Go ahead.
They probably have the most public distaste for each other during a weekend,
yeah.
Whenever anything is slightly done wrong by the by one party. It's just funny seeing that you're gonna go out for the guy who's against your current driver to then most likely replace him in that sense.
Right.
So that's all. I think anything's gonna happen. Honestly, I have no idea. And
yeah.
With these kind of rumors, they're big, and would it really shake up the order and the lineups? Of course, because you'd be doing exactly what Lewis did
to
Carlos for this year.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I don't know. We shall see. I just can't see. I can't see Mercedes spending 500 mil to get Max.
Right.
Because they have to pay
and Ellie eventually?
Well, no, it's just like how much budget are they putting into that team? You know, even the Copcast era, you know, you can't keep, you know, doing it.
Right.
And you also got GT3 programs, and you know, I know Toto says there's no way they're gonna do hypercar, but at the rate they're getting left behind in that, they're gonna have no choice but to do a hypercar program. Yeah. You know?
All right.
So, anyways, all right. Let's. Anything else? News? Notes? I mean, Captain Leg qualified and got a top 20 finish.
Yep. It's pretty cool. I think it's the highest finishing woman on a road course in NASCAR.
I believe you're correct, Nate. I believe that's right.
So that's pretty cool to see.
Congrats to Kat. Hey, Christian, anything? Oh, no, I guess the only other thing was Jack Crawford took the win in the feature race in F2.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
And it was kind of a cool race because it was raining and all sorts of good stuff. Yeah. So, good stuff there. All right. Let's get to it. Let's go to NASCAR. And let's all put our shocked face on when we say that SVG won in Chicago and he swept the weekend.
He had himself a weekend in Chicago is what he did.
He did.
We, he collected and left.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. He took a body count there. Now he's now the frightening thing is he's moved up in the points.
Well, he could really advance himself far up in the points.
I know.
Even in this next race too.
If he takes if he takes Watkins Glen and Sonoma. Yeah. No, I'm just saying
it's true. It's scary how the standings can really change.
And you know what? This is what happens when you have to monkey around with a championship season, you know?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it backfires at you that right. Okay, some people found a weird loop.
Yeah.
Really makes you out of it.
Right. You win one race and then you ultimately win the championship is, you know, like happened last year, kind of garbage. But this is what happens.
But based on such, Joey Logano is the least deserving NASCAR Cup champion.
Right. And we'll see what happens. And we could see that happen again this year.
It's going to have to be like the 16th place guy.
What if Austin Cindric wins? Or Josh Berry wins.
Right, like it doesn't make sense. It's
there you go.
Melting my brain.
All right, so let's get to this race. It's kind of fun watching SVG slug around the track. You know, it's more fun watching these guys try and negotiate the track and then crash and then take out. You know, Christian, what was it like? 10 cars got logged up on that one crash we saw.
Yeah, it was far. Thought he could use every single inch of the track and more.
Yeah, yeah. NASCAR's favorite, Carson Hocevar.
Well, he hit the wall, and then I don't know what happened, but he went across the track again.
What happened is he broke his front right, smacked, and then bounced off one wall and into the other.
Yeah, the other wall. Yeah.
Kind of hard to control the car when you break it.
Obviously showing his depth of driver talent.
Well, and someone said he didn't have very nice words. It was Austin Dillon. I forget the exact words, but he wasn't all too thrilled.
About Hocevar after this race?
Yeah. But it's like the irony is he's caused way worse things, such as Richmond last year. And here he is, you know, bitching about this.
Yeah, but are you taking like anything Austin Dillon says, but, you know?
Oh, no, because he's never going to win a road course.
The comedian right now is Ty Dillon.
Oh, because he's, crushing it in the bracket in season again, challenge?
Another gimmick. as soon as I heard that, I was like, I said to Christian and I were watching it, and I'm like, oh, God, I forgot about that. And I was like, and then I wish, the thing was, Nate, I wish you never said something about it, because now it's in the back of my head.
Yeah, because now it's so stupid. I'm not a fan of it, but then I find myself and then keep tabs at it.
Look at Nate.
I'm like, what am I doing?
Nate's fallen for it.
Yeah, I know.
The race pretty much went where it thought, you know, Michael McDowell took the lead. I'm like, but then I said, why did Van Gisbergen start on the outside of row one? On the outside. Because the first corner is the left.
Right.
Was he going to do the over under when they got to one?
I mean, that was his winning move when he first went here, but I'm not sure.
But on the start, I would have hugged the inside, taken the lead, and run off into the distance.
Well, I think 9 out of 10 people would. I'm not exactly sure the choice. I think he was trying to see what McDowell was doing.
I'll let you guys have some fun and then I'll.
Yeah, you guys figure it out.
Yeah.
And have fun.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think the long-term future of this race is?
Just, you got to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Go back to Chicagoland.
This is kind of like the thermal of NASCAR.
Sean, you're right. And it's, I can't wait for it to go. It was, I get it. interesting idea at first, NASCAR's first street course, whatever. But if you're going to do something like this, you know, I know it probably sounds logistically insane, but I would do it with like IndyCar or like IMSA or something. You kind of make it a big rig in there. What it is.
I'm not like, my only thing with the track is it's like Detroit in IndyCar. It's just too narrow.
Right.
You know,
but then again, like,
it's not just narrow, too narrow. I mean, it's almost too basic. It's kind of just
point and squirt.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the overhead shot of it, it's two
it's
squares.
It's like a grid. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean,
really, like, what more? It's probably about as boring of a street course as you could make it. It's all pretty much
true.
All 90-degree corners.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I get it's got two bridges, a fountain.
I mean, if they ran, you know, if they ran NASCAR at Albert Park, you know, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it like that. See, there's the doubleheader weekend that you should have. Not with F1. They should have supercars and NASCAR at Albert Park.
Mm-hmm. And like three NASCAR drivers go to the supercars, and then three drivers. You know what I mean? Like do both.
Yeah, well, I think that's asking a lot because I honestly think a supercar driver going to NASCAR will adapt easier than a NASCAR driver going to a supercar because the supercars have those funky tires.
It's just a whole different animal, you know?
Yeah, it's a way different animal. I know people go, I mean, Van Gisbergen will say it's sort of like it, but they're not. Like the Gen 3, whatever this car is. Is sort of like it, but it's not. The tires on the supercars are super. They're super hard. They're not. You know, it's a. That's why guys come up through the Super 2 series, and then to supercars. But it would be. I mean, from a fan standpoint, I would love it. And I think it's a fast track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just my.
I think NASCAR would do very well over there.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I guess to like the point of Albert Park, like it's not like NASCAR can't do a street course, but there's probably better alternatives out there.
But that's what you got to look for, a street course like that.
Yeah.
Right, Christian?
Mm-hmm.
It's flowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, I mean, like Nate said, like I know we've had this discussion before, but like if they wanted to take it to a street course, I'd take it to Long Beach. Oh, No, I'm sorry. You can't do Long Beach. It's too much that weekend.
Yeah, but you know what? The one thing with Long Beach, like, these guys, there'll be so many cautions.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
That's my thing. I just, you know, I'm,
well, but,
you know,
I mean, look at the Chicago race. I mean, you're in the same boat.
No, I know, but it's no fun. Like, I want them on a track that they can run, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm saying, like, something like, if you could design something like Albert Park here in the States, that would be awesome. I mean, you know, it's almost like, you know, Watkins Glen short course is almost like Albert Park.
Yeah.
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, that's what I wish that could, you know, be the case, but
mm-hmm.
Anyways. All right. So let's just take a look at the standings here. Well, not the standings, but the results. SVG with the win. Ty Gibbs second. Fastest guy on track, though, Tyler Reddick.
Ty Gibbs equals his best career finish in NASCAR.
I know. Yeah, that's good. I'm talking a real driver. I'm talking Tyler.
Just a stat. That's just.
And Denny was fourth. Kyle Busch, fifth.
Great result for Kyle Busch. I think he needed that after a string of lots of wrecks.
The Dinger was sixth. Surprise
strong
of the year.
Run by Ryan Preece.
Surprise of the year is Ryan Preece. That's not a Keselowski car, is it?
It is. Sure is.
We got to save that. Right, kid. We got to get him out of there.
No, he's fine.
We got to get
he's
him out of there. What maybe. No. Bowman with an eighth
Showman.
Place finish. Yep. Austin Hill.
A ninth place finish.
I don't get that kid, but anyways. And the Watermelon Man finished 10th, and he beat Logano, so that's all that matters.
Logano liked talking to him after the race, Sean.
Yeah, Logano. Yeah, I'd like to talk to Logano after the race, too, someday.
You and me both, Sean.
Not a fan. All right. And so this week, we're off to Sonoma. Back-to-back road races. What do you want to put the money? Is Zilich entered this weekend?
He should
be. In the cup race?
I don't think he is. I think he's done for the year, but let me check. Because I know it was like a very, wasn't a lot of races he was doing. I was looking at he's not on the list.
Damn it.
He's not on the entry list.
That's the only one that could bring it because they had such a ding-dong battle in the Xfinity race.
Right. But you know who's been trying to win this race for so long, who has failed miserably every time, is AJ Allmendinger.
The Dinger? I'd be up for the Dinger to win.
I really want him to win this race because this is his home race and he's been snake bit every time.
Yep. He is the Lando Norris of NASCAR.
Sure.
All right. So Sonoma this weekend. All right. We can talk. Yeah, we'll move on. Anyways. All right, let's move on to IndyCar. To Mid-Ohio. Mm-hmm. And, uncharacteristic mistake from Alex Palou with six to go. Mr. I Hang Around.
Appeared.
Pounced. And won.
And he ties Willpower for most road course wins in IndyCar.
Willpower. History. But I also believe, is this correct?
What?
Like, is it 21 years with a podium or 21 years with a win?
Oh, a win.
That's impressive.
That's insane.
We're just talking two decades of just winning.
One in IndyCar.
One race a year. That's impressive. Yeah. Yep. That guy. Anyways, Scotty D. Good on him. He like controlled the race. I mean, it was like it was like on cruise control, and then he just made a mistake. Got in the marbles and the car ran wide and Dixon pounced. That was it.
Oh, and I would even add furthermore to that. It's not like Scott Dixon started up in the top five. He was I think around the top 10.
It was as usual. It was the usual. Strategy and driver talent. When I talk strategy, I'm talking from the pit wall.
And isn't it insane that Joseph Newgarden crashes
Let's get to that. Let's take a look at results and then we can talk the plight of the once vaunted Team Penske. Christian Lundgaard, fantastic weekend overall. Finished fourth. Herter with a nice weekend. I'm sorry, Lundgaard finished third. Herter fourth. Pato rebounded for a fifth after horrendous qualifying. The Meyer Shank guys were 6th and 7th in their hometown race. Kyle Kirkwood salvaged the weekend with his 8th place finish. Rinus VK notches yet again another top 10 finish. And in the process, notches again, passing over 15 cars during a race.
Jeez.
Yep. And then Kiffin Simpson, overall great weekend. Unfortunate pit stop set him back to finish 10th.
Which he qualified very well. He qualified third.
Yep.
Pretty cool to see.
Yep. Like to talk a little bit first, a little American on American crime. Santino Ferrucci and Connor Daly.
I mean, that was just clear as day, wasn't it, from Ferrucci?
Yep, was. Connor was not thrilled with that. I don't blame him.
Didn't you pick him for your dark horse?
Who, Ferrucci?
Yes,
you did.
I did. I did.
What are you doing, Sean? I told you.
No. But, like, I was going based on, like, current results, and now he puts the black hat on, and now he won't be in my dark horse anymore. Mm-hmm. All right.
And Sean, wait. I'm on to something. But who also picked the winner of such weekend?
I believe you did.
I did, yes. See, I know
someone. Who was your dark horse?
I believe it was...
Was it J-New?
Armstrong?
Marcus Armstrong.
Okay.
Seventh place finish. Good job. Christian, how was yours?
Not bad. Very consistent. They finished fifth and sixth. I had a Ward and Rosenquist.
There you go. All right.
So, okay.
All right. Five out of our six picks were very good.
We're in the top 10, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, except Ferrucci effed it up.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk Team Penske.
What is going on?
Yeah. Woof. Can we say woof?
Who is
woof?
Huh?
What? Justin Newgarden? Oh, this guy.
Let's just talk. How many cars were entered in this race? 27th. 27 cars, 3 Penske cars were entered. The highest finishing Penske car finished 23rd with Scott McLaughlin. The next highest finished car was 26th by Will Power. And bringing up the rear, Joseph Newgarden.
In DFL. Yep. Nice.
Who put on a fantastic display in qualifying and then you know, lived up to his equally, boorish behavior that has been synonymous with this season of storming off. So somehow he was able to muster up the emotional strength to participate in the Fox broadcast pre-race interview. And then I lost all credit for Fox and Will Buxton, who immediately said, we thank Joseph Newgarden for taking the time to interview. No, there's no need to thank. He's not, that's his job. Okay.
That's his job.
So that's his job. Whether he's good or bad, it doesn't matter. That's his job. So.
What's he going to say the wrong thing? FIA won't find him because he's not in.
But it's just. Yeah. Anyways, fantastic weekend. Way to go, Team Penske. Things are going well over there.
And so, what do you think is going to happen to Iowa? Because Joseph Newgarden traditionally runs very well there.
Let's just take a quick look at the standings in IndyCar, because unlike other series, they actually do a season long championship.
Noted.
So right now Alex is leading with Alex Palou is leading with 430 points. He is 113 ahead of Kyle Kirkwood, and Kyle Kirkwood is 12 points ahead of Pato O'Ward, and here he is in fourth, Scott Dixon. And if I look at this, the highest Penske guy is ninth, and that's the guy without a contract, Will Power. In the top 10, we have 1, 2, 3. We have 4 Chevrolets sitting in 3rd, 5th, 9th, and 10th, and the rest of Hondas. We have Rinus VK sitting at 13th position overall, and that's with Dale Coyne. He's the last driver in the field for the year, and he's on the smallest team.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, noise. Pretty exciting. All right.
Yeah.
Next up. Oh, this is only hold on. Sorry. Wow, there's only Iowa's only one race.
It's one race.
Those two. Those two. It's July 12th, 5 p.m. on Fox.
Oh, and it then is. The it next is. Sorry, you're right. Yep. Yeah.
July 13th.
Yep. One. Yep. 5 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Oh, good. So they'll only slightly melt on Saturday and then completely melt on Sunday. Oh, okay, good.
All right.
I don't know, Nate. I can't say how well Penske will do because they actually have to have the legitimate attenuators attached to their car.
Right.
So
I'm just going based off of last year because Scott McLaughlin won the race race two.
If we go to last year, granted, those two drivers won. Both cars were running with the illegal attenuators on the cars.
Right.
So it was just not caught, and therefore those wins should have been taken away.
And now they're going to be 25th, 26th, and 27th?
Well, who knows? Could be a performance thing. Who knows?
Who knows?
Christians, what's your thought? You think Penske bounces back this weekend?
I mean,
they do. Yes, they do.
You either go against the grain of Ganassi, or you try and stick with the Penske. And you know what? I'm going to stick with the Penske, but it's not going to be the Penske team. It's going to be the B team. AJ Foyt and David Malukas is going to.
Are we going right to picks?
I'm going right to picks because that was a good segue into
it. Okay. So is that for race one, race two, race one and two?
Malukas takes race one and Ferrucci takes race two.
Wow.
Dark horse in either race?
I mean, there you go.
Dark horse is going to be Connor Daly for both of them.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Some guy in an E-Type Jaguar just put it off at the Porsche curve. Holy crap.
What are you watching?
1965 E-Type. That thing's wrecked. Wow.
Is this a classic Le Mans?
Classic Le Mans, sorry. Okay. I just looked up. All right, so you're taking Connor Daly in both races.
Yes.
All right. Nate, let's go to you, Mr. IndyCar Insider.
At Mid-Ohio anyways. Let's take a look here at Ohio, right? Penske spliffed it last year with an illegal part, right? So we're going based off of that. So because I love stats and numbers, well, I should probably pick whoever came in second place both years, right? So I'm going to pick Pato O'Ward for race one.
I like that.
And then I'm going to pick Alex Palou winning race two. And then the dark horse for race one is going to be David Malukas. And then the dark horse for race two will be Connor Daly.
Okay.
Just because I think David Malukas learned a lot from night racing, and I think night racing is kind of his, it's up his wheelhouse, I think. And I think he's going to really show up at the night race more so than Daytona.
Okay. On my side of the fence, I'm going to take Pato. No, rephrase that. Refresh that. I am going to take Connor Daly to win in race one. Race two, I am going to take Pato. My dark horse is going to be I'm going to take Rossi as my dark horse in race one. And in race two, my dark horse is going to be Rinus VK.
Nice.
All righty.
That's pretty solid.
So there you have it. There you have it. Going out on a limb with Connor Daly in race one, but I'm basing that on Connor's performance at Gateway.
I like it.
So.
Anyway.
All right.
Well, that's exciting. We got two for one this weekend in IndyCar.
Yep, that's exciting. And we have NASCAR at Sonoma. I kind of like that.
Yep. So it's going to be road courses with NASCARs and ovals with IndyCars. Beautiful weekend. It's a beautiful weekend.
We can look forward to the 6 hours. 6 hours of Interlagos this weekend.
Yep.
Ferrari did get dinged on the BOP, Christian.
Yep, on all three categories. They're the heaviest car with Toyota. They have the second least amount of energy to use. Shockingly, Alpine actually has 1 kilojoule less than they do to use. And what was it? They're now the least powerful car on engine output. Does it change a thing? I don't know. Because it seemed like just about everyone else had adjustments in some way. The Aston got more power and more... they got weight removed and more energy to use. Innocent. But I think I saw just about everyone else had adjustments kind of in the negative direction to what is ideal. So, you know, weight added, less power, less energy to use. Mm-hmm. The weather looks cool. It's predicted to be high 60s and sunny during the weekend. So no,
I mean it is the
winter
down there. Yes. We are in the southern hemisphere.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I would probably still hedge my bets on Ferrari. Because it's just a question of did they hit him hard enough or did the FIA hit him hard enough? And I don't know. Like they're still pretty far out in front, so it'll be tough to say.
Yep.
And then IMSA's at Mossport, like you mentioned. So this leaves us with Formula One to recap the show and end the show.
Yeah. All right. So let's get to it. Let's dive into the elephant in the room. Thoughts on the Piastri penalty?
I thought it was pretty harsh. But was he slowing enough? It did seem pretty aggressive. I think 10 seconds is pretty harsh. I would have maybe done
five
is like yelling at my head. Yeah, but I just,
Now he did.
How do you police it correctly? You know, is
right.
Well, the other question too.
The post-race,
podium.
Post-race investigation. In which they offered, the FIA offered its opinion, showed a massive slamming of the brakes by Piastri.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
Not just once, but several times.
I kind of disagree with that because...
You disagree with the FIA?
Yeah, I don't think it's massive. Wow. I mean, should he have gotten a penalty? I think the FIA boxed themselves into a corner on this one.
Oh, that's fine.
Because I think 10 seconds was harsh. I don't think that.
I agree. I agree.
I think five is reasonable. However, I think, given Canada, I don't think they should have applied anything.
Gotcha.
And also, I think with Silverstone, you should take into account the conditions, considering I can't remember if it was for the restart that Piastri got dinged on. I can't remember if that safety car was brought out because of Hadjar slamming into Antonelli. Or if that was the caution before.
That was brutal.
Because that in itself shows you that the drivers cannot see each other.
Yeah.
On that track.
That was brutal.
When you saw the onboard of Max, at the time Piastri had slowed, it was clear you could not see him. Or see him well enough. Does that excuse Piastri from, you know, potentially hitting the brakes harder than normal? No, but also I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt that he was braking and at the same time the safety car lights did go out. I think each time that the safety car was giving notification to the drivers that they were going back to green was pretty late throughout the lap. So he probably should have put the lights off before Maggots and Becketts, I'd say.
Yep.
Or, you know, maybe they need to, the FIA needs to change the rules to say that drivers can't go below pace speed.
Gotcha.
Once the lights go out, because it's, there is a stupid amount of games that gets played with this, and for now two races, not in a row, but pretty close together, you've seen the potential for an incident to be brought out. And you can also, and this also goes to like some criticism with Verstappen of how he plays games with the restarts too and all that stuff. So everyone's trying to look for an advantage. I mean, how much does it really give you? Definitely more than, you know, if you just held speed and went. So I think this holding back stuff is kind of stupid to begin with. So just get on and go with it, because all this time and effort you spend on keeping the tires warm, it's just gone. You can drag the brakes, but it only does so much. So, and plus two, like you saw after Piastri went, when he, you know, slammed on his brakes aggressively, Verstappen was trying to catch him coming out of is it Cops? I think I've messed that one up.
Anyways,
they go through the right hander and Verstappen loops it. So, and I know it's, he was definitely pushing the limits clearly. But tires are probably cold and less than ideal, and the same thing happened with him too at Spain when he came around the last corner. Granted, he was on hard tires compared to everyone else who was on softs or mediums, whatever. But it when you have less temperature, you have less grip, so it's just harder to keep it down.
All right. There you go. You know, outside of that penalty, I don't think this would have been much of a race. Oscar, I think, would have controlled it and won. I'm not quite sure I understand why Red Bull went with the setup they did in qualifying just to grab pole, because that setup wasn't going to work in the race.
Again, you're asking these guys to predict the weather. I don't think out of everything that F1 teams do well, predicting weather is not one of them.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So that leaves us with the feel-good story of the weekend. Nico Hülkenberg.
Yes.
Finally.
With a third place finish. Podium. Mm-hmm. First podium in F1. Now, mind you, this driver is no slouch. This is not like Lance Stroll getting a podium. This is a guy who, in a third car at Le Mans in 2015, teamed with Earl Bamber and Nick Tandy, took the win outright. And then won at various levels in junior formula, and he's not a slouch. So, well done to Nico.
And this is 15 years in the making. Excuse me.
That is correct, yes.
I mean, it's kind of funny how topsy-turvy it is to Kevin Magnussen's career, right? Kevin Magnussen, mm-hmm. first race, gets a podium, and near the end of his racing career, he gets a pole. Well,
yep.
Flip this one around. In his rookie season, Nico Hülkenberg gets a surprise pole with Williams at... in Brazil, the Sao Paulo circuit, Interlagos. And now look at this, 15 years later. Yep. And I would argue probably the track where it would be his best chances of getting a podium gets a podium. Because mind you, remember when he came back as a super sub, if you will, in F1, he was with Racing Point and finished, I think, third in qualifying. Was doing very well as a super sub then.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to guess where the track would be in today's F1, in Hülkenberg's return to F1, his second stint in F1, I would guess Silverstone. And here we are at Silverstone talking about Nico Hülkenberg getting a podium.
Yep. I thought it was awesome. So it was like
cool. Especially with a C team like Sauber.
Yep, 100%. Although, in the last four races, Sauber has outscored Verstappen for Red Bull.
Not just Verstappen, Red Bull in entirety. Yeah. They've outscored.
Right. Yeah, but Red Bull in its entirety is just Verstappen.
Yes, but we can just say Red Bull in its entirety.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Other than that, that's all I have for the race. I mean, it was just, the drama was the penalty, kind of ruined potentially a race.
Mm-hmm.
And the feel-good story was the Hulk.
I do have to mention one other thing.
Yes.
Five out of six rookies did not finish the race.
Oh, yeah.
I know Lawson got taken out, but... And it wasn't like Behrman went without contact either that race.
Yeah.
Not once, but twice, I think. And so I know that you were like a little miffed at one point of like just all the incidents and guys not being able to keep it on the road. But having rookies in the field, or this kind of experience in the field at least,
mm-hmm.
does help.
Does up, add something
up the possibility of,
right,
of the race turning upside down. So you do have that unpredictability factor in there, which I like. The level of commitment that some of the drivers had to go on to slicks towards the end of the race was very entertaining to watch them go through Maggots and Beckets.
Right.
So, and also just shows like how easy it is to lose these cars and how really out of control these drivers do become once that happens. So for all the driving that they do currently, it just reinforces the idea of how impressive it is that these guys are able to drive on the limit. And the other thing I should mention going along that, I really enjoyed the drifting show at the end of the first
By Max.
Not just Max. There was also others. If you kept watching some of the other camera shots, but there were a lot of drivers at the start of the race where the inters were getting worn out and waiting for the rain, and you could see them drifting through the exit of Maggots and Packets. I can't remember the actual name of the corner on that one, but it was great to watch that. You could tell Max was fading in terms of pace, but like I didn't expect him to really hold off the McLarens to begin with. But it was really nice to see that these guys are pushing, and they're pushing to that level that you do see it. It's noticeable that they are that much on the edge.
100% agree.
I was a little disappointed, but then again, it is, you know, the great Holy Britannia Grand Prix. But there was no Davide Valsecchi this weekend.
No Davide.
So I just those camera shots at Maggots and Beckets, I thought he would have been perfect for that one. So I was to bring the passion and enthusiasm of seeing these guys push it. So
that was good stuff.
But yeah.
Yep. So I just liked how that whole race really had everything. I mean, two times weather came down was it a factor. Yep. Really, really, it was an instant classic of a race. It really was.
100%. 100% agree with that. All right. Cool. On that note,
good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.